We're going to start on the top of Samach Chumash Aleph, about six lines down. We just had the previous statement by Rav Papa. Now we're on to the next one, which is Amar Rav Papa. Over to Chachamim Adano, Yisrael Akuba, Chamra Asir. So we're talking about a Dano, which is a barrel, a chavit, a large utensil holding the wine. And he's pouring into the Kuba, which is the pitcher or the smaller receptacle that he's pouring to. So if the Ovri Chalavim is the one pouring, and the Yisrael is holding the receptacle, then the wine is asur. My time, what's the problem? Ki ka'ati mikoach chavim ka'ati. It's coming, his koach is what's causing the wine to spill from the upper or the larger utensil into the smaller one, and that is asur. Whereas Yisrael Adano, if the Jew is the one pouring with the larger utensil, Ovri Chachamim Akuba, Nebuchadnezzar is holding the smaller utensil, then Chamra Shori. And then the wine is Mutar. Vi'i Mitzade Tzude. Then if he is tipping the Kuba, I mean, not only is he stationary holding it, like when you have a plastic cup and someone's pouring, you hold it stationary in place, he pours it, but he actually tips it in the direction or helps to make sure that the wine lands in the lower utensil, then it's a seer, because then he's not simply holding it in place and allowing it to come into the smaller receptacle, but rather he's lifting up that receptacle, he's moving it, and therefore it'll be a seer. Now what Rashi says over here, chamra seer, shum, demekarkesh leila chamra, because he's moving the wine, uvekuba malea askina dilmanogo. That's one possibility, which is that maybe he touched the wine. Lishna achrina, afidu chasei renami, even if it's not full. Tevin kemekargesh bekavono, avalei koach bekavono vasur b'shtia. So that's the two possibilities here. What Rashi says the problem is when we're talking about the chamra asur here by the etzdudei mitzadeid, is that we're talking either talking about a kuba maleya. And since the kuba is mleya, the likelihood is that he will touch the wine that's in this kuba when it's coming in, and therefore we're worried about his touching it, and that's what makes it asur. The other possibility is that even if it's not full, we're worried about him moving, if he's moving it around, that he's actually causing the wine to move. Mekarkish, the wine moves because of his action with the kuba, and that causes there to be a problem, but that's a problem of koach. So over here, it actually differentiates, there might be a different din. If the problem is naga, that he actually touched the wine, then it may be asur not only b'shtia, but also b'ana. If the problem is mekarkesh with koach, then it might be only asur b'shtia, not asur b'ana, because he never came into physical contact with it, it's only a problem of koach. Okay, Amar Papa, Hayovi Kachavim, the Dori Zika, that's carrying some canteens, flasks of wine, because of Israel Achorei, and a Jew is walking behind him. Malyo, if they are full, shori, to lo mekarkish, because the wine doesn't move around. Since the wine is stationary in them, you can't really move the wine around because they're full. There's a Jew behind to make sure that he hasn't touched it. Nothing to worry about. Whereas, chasera, if they're not full, then we worry about it. Asir, why? Because Dilma Makarshkesh, because maybe he'll move the wine around. I mean, he'll squeeze the canteen or the flask, and that'll cause the wine to move inside. And because of that, there'll be like a nisuch. Kuba Malyo, if he's carrying a full cup or pitcher full of wine, asir. Dilma Naga, because maybe he'll actually touch it. Chaseiro, if it's not full, shari, there it's mutar. Talo naga, because there he won't touch it. Because it's not full, he can't touch it itself, he can't reach over to touch it, and there's a Yehudi behind him making sure that he's not going to stick his hand all the way into the barrel. Rav Ashi Amar, Zika, ben Malyo, ben Chaseiro, comes to this canteen or flask, whether it's full or empty, mutar. My taimo, it's a very basic thing, ein derech nisuch b'kach. Isn't the way you do nisuch hayayin. You don't squeeze the canteen, you don't squeeze the walls together to move the wine. That's not the normal type of nisuch hayayin. Even though we know that meshachshech is a type of nisuch hayayin.
In the case that we were learning, you touch the touching this way or that way.
But that's in contact with the wine. Here he's not in direct contact with the wine. He has to squeeze the walls. So even though Meshach Sheikh, dabbling in the wine is good enough, pouring the wine might be good enough, but here where it's enclosed and he's squeezing the walls of the canteen, that does not make it into a problem of Nisuch Hayayin. Right, so now we said over here that when the Ovek HaChamim is pouring, and the Yisrael is the one with the receptacle that's receiving, we said that's Asur. And we say, when that's Asur, it's Asur Afilu Behana'a. Now why is that different than, let's call it, Mezikat Hayayin? Before, when we said Mezikat Hayayin, only Asur B'Shtiyah, it's an Yisur D'Rabbanan B'Yisur Shtiyah, and no Yisur Ana'a. Over here, all of a sudden we extend an Yisur Ana'a because he's pouring from the barrel above. So Tosfos says, "Lefiot Perush Perush El Gabe Yain Shemazgod Eno Surbana Ish Lamar Sheish LaHachmir Kan Yoter Sheish LeTod Sheheriko BeKavanat Nisuch." Because over here he's actually pouring out the wine, which we talked about before. But when you pour out of a cup, you pour out of a barrel. That is Nisuch Hayan. That's the type of thing that you do libation by pouring it out of the barrel. So over here it might be closer to Nisuch or more Chashash of Nisuch than if it was Mazgo, even though. Again, it's the same action that he's pouring for the Jew into a cup, the wine or the water to dilute it. Over here, we're going to be more choshesh or more problematic. Now, the kochol shel Ovek HaChamim, when it comes to the koach of Ovek HaChamim, only what leaves the utensil do we make asur. What's inside the utensil, right, remains fine. And that's the din that we had. So now, this is only applies if the Ovek HaChamim is pouring by himself. This is what Tosu says. Aval im Sielo Yisrael. Yisrael helps him. A kol mutar v'af b'shtiyah. There's no problem at all. T'choheche de koach avadim asur. Im koach acher muravo mutar. It's a big deal. That anytime we're talking about koach avadim chamim, that's when he's doing it alone. If there's a koach acher muravo, there's no more problem with koach avadim chamim. Mi'al chadchila asur. Chadchila, you shouldn't do that. But nevertheless, if a Jew gets involved, the two of them are picking up the barrel together and pouring it, then you don't have a problem. It's only when the Ovek HaChamim does it by himself do we have a problem of kocho. So kocho, as opposed to mago, which is where he's in direct contact with the wine, there it's all about whether he comes in contact or not, whether it's Ayyidei Davar Acher or not, depends on the machok to be shown him, we've seen until now. But when it comes to kocho is already a step removed. It's not, he's not in contact with the wine, he's pouring it. So there, Chazal, if something's davar achem rabbo, then they were not gozer in that case, a problem. As well as we saw before, that kocho only applies to what leaves the barrel or leaves the pitcher. Whatever remains inside, he has no effect on. Alright, so now, the next Tosa says in Mitzvah Mitzvah, says, Nira L'Rivam, right, this is another grandson of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam's brother. So he's Nira L'Rivam, Ke'oto L'Shon Shperish Kundrus. Remember, we gave two pshatim in the Rashi about by mitzdadei etzudei, why was it asur? Right, one we said was that it was malaya, and we're afraid that he's going to touch it. The other peyush was that it was empty or somewhat full, and he was shaking it around. It's mekarkish, and that's the problem. So, is there peyush kodesh akubo chasera? Given the mekarkish lay bekavana, avale kocho bekavana, it's koach bekavana, vasur b'shtiyah, umedami lay v'dinogea bekane. It's the same thing, or equivalent of touching it with a stick or a staff. So mali nogea b'kaneh, mali nogea b'shulei kuba. What's the difference if the shaking is coming, if the movement's coming from him sticking a stick into the wine, or it's coming because he's holding the coast or the pitcher that it's going into? V'omeri, ki yesh b'nei adam, sh'menichim ovei chamim levado, lag bia agala, sh'achavit b'tochas. Great case. So they bring the, in a wagon, like the olden days, you know, they did with anything, with milk, with anything they brought in a wagon, and they have the barrels on the back of the wagon. And the barrels have a tap. Today you have this when you take a cooler of some sort with the liquid in it. And what happens when it gets lower in the barrel or below the tap? What do you have to do? You have to tip the barrel in order for the liquid to reach, you know, with an urn also. You have to tip the urn to reach the point where the barrels is, where the tap is. So it's over here. What they used to do, the girl used to lift up the agala, the wagon, so that it would tip the barrels in the direction of the barrels, and then the wine would pour out. Or the chavit shum kaleach b'toch hakuba kadei shikaleach yafeh. Or even when it was flowing, but he tipped it in the direction of the tap so that it would flow in a better way. V'omrim mesayeh hashem bo mamashu. It's a mesayeh. What? It's just a mesayeh. He's not really doing the pouring. He's not the one doing this. That's okay. V'lav hachayam kaleach. It would have flowed by itself anyway. He's just doing a little extra. V'lo ratzalu mar b'zeh lo yisur v'lo heter. wasn't willing to step in and make a big noise about it. Achen yesh lahachmir. Says you have to machmir bnei adam shematim akuba sheish b'mat yain letzar echad shlo yoter otar agubi kochavim. So that you can't have the Ubikhurim tip it over, Afilim Nar Katan Mesaya, even if a little kid's helping him out. The Mesaya Kihai Vada Mesayim Bo Mamash, then the little kid's definitely not doing it. If the kid can't do it by himself, then he's not considered a Mesaya to take away the koach of the Ubikhurim. So here he differentiates between the case where it wouldn't have flowed without the goy. So there, if the goy lifts up the agalar, tips the barrel, you have a problem. Whereas if it would have flowed without him, but he increases the flow when he lifts it up, there he says, Lo Ratzalam Arbezeh, Lo Yisr, V'lo Heter. There he didn't want to stick his head in there. Right, maybe. He didn't want to be Oser Legamri, but obviously, a Machmir Tavol of a Bracha over here, which is that maybe we shouldn't do it in that case, because he is Misayeya for the flow of the wine. So that was interesting. Boaz does here, Zika ben Malio ben Chaseira. So he says, Haicha Kamelan Kurav Ashi hu Batra. Bashi is a Batra, which means that it'll be Mutter in both cases. But Kuba lo Polig. On the Kuba, he doesn't argue, so that'll be a Sur. Bedavka Shinosa Rosho Ak Tefo. So when he's carrying on his head or on his shoulder, Deika the Mecha is doing Naga. I know this kid, then we worry about him touching it. Aval Bemot, if he's carrying it on a stick, right, on the back of a stick, Olisa Dali Derech Tabato, Tabato Mutar. If he's holding it with the ring of the barrel, then you don't have to worry about it because then he can't come into contact with the wine. So over there, we don't have to worry about the kubba because he won't come into contact with it. It's only when he's directly carrying it, whether it's on his head or on his shoulder, we can directly touch the wine. That's where we worry about it. And then there's a Rabbeinu Tam brings a heter based on this. So gam hitir Rabbeinu Tam al barza sheita rufuya. It's a loose tap, the chavid, vastimat kufa sheita rufuya, or seal on the top that was loose. And he came and he sealed it tight. So over there he said that based on what we said over here, that's okay. Because here he doesn't come into direct contact with the wine. And all he's doing is sealing or moving around the seal to make sure that it's tighter, moving the tap back in order to ensure that it's tight over here. So too, just like before by the node, that the ore was rach, we have the soft skin canteens, and when he squeezes it and moves it around, that's not called derech nisuch b'kach. So to over here, when he goes to put the tap back in, or when he's going to put the cover, tighten the cover on it, even though he's moving things around, that's not derech nisuch b'kach. And therefore he was matir. The Ri said you can be somech on the Rabbeinu Tam, even though he says that there is room to be cholik on the Rabbeinu Tam, he says you can be somech on the Rabbeinu Tam in this case. So this is three interesting halachot that just come out of this Tosfot over here. And what about Misayaya that can take care of Koach over the Chavim, that we eliminate Koach over the Chavim when you have a Misaya? Number two is the Aloha about having the Goy tip it so it pours out. Again, the difference between whether it's below the tap and it wouldn't flow without him versus if it would flow without him. And this third Aloha, which is that if the Ovid Chavim is fixing the tap, tightening the tap or the top, that we call that Ein Derech Nisuch B'Kach, then that's not a problem that he's moving it around, that the wine moves because of that fixing that he does over here. Now the Gemara moves on to Ma'atzra Zairo. This is a type of press. It's a wine press, and Rashi calls it, it's a gat. It's a press that they don't use their feet and stomp on the grapes. Rather, they press it with the heavy beam. So now the Zairo is a machbesh. The similar way they do it with olives, yeah. Very similar to that type of press. It's called a machbesh. Machbesh is like a press, like a dry cleaning press, where they used to put the clothes in and press them together. So here, what they had were they put beams down, or planks, down over the grapes. Then they put a korah, this heavy beam on top. And the heavy beam puts pressure on those planks, and that presses the wine. They place these planks over the tapuach, over the piling of the grapes. And then they put the korah on top, which is very heavy, and that causes it to press down. So now, is this my rapopi? Shari says that it's okay for this. Vashi vitei merav simi baravashi asar says it's problematic. So now the Gemara says bikocho, if it's his koach that does it, that he walks. Say instead of putting the beam, the korah on top of the planks, he walks on top of the planks in order to crush it. Over there, keep everybody kuli amalo pligi dasur. Everybody says it's asur. Ki pligi, where they argue bikoach kocho. But it's not him, but it's koach kocho. It's once removed. For instance, that he turns the corkscrew or the pulley system that allows the korah to go down. So because of that, that pressing, that's koach chochol. Meaning that the boards are there, the nesarim, the planks are on top of the grapes, then you're lowering the korah on top of it. So that's his koach, that is lowering the korah, but then there's that's on top of the nesarim. So you have a once removed, koach once removed, that's doing it, because the, it's the weight of the korah that presses, but he's the one who released the korah. So that's koach chochol. So the, that's their machlokas. Ikedamre, koach chochol kulam lo pligi de shori. Some that say that when it comes to koach chochol, everybody says mutar. The argument's about when he walks on the boards. There's just a question. So there was a case of koach chochol, and Rav Yaakov ben Arpakud was oser. So Rav Yochananel says, based on that, we have maser rav. So that's the psak halacha, that koach chochol is definitely asur. The Rashbam was willing to be matir if the Ovi Chachamim lowered down the korah, the press, by himself, and there's a hefsid merubah, he was willing to be matir by koach kochol, because you could be so mech on the ikid amre, that everybody's matir by koach kochol. So he says, well, there's a hefsid merubah, and we're talking about possibly a dindur abonon over here, koach kochol, over there he's willing to be matir. Then he adds in a new thing, and this is what he, obviously you know that they're hands on here, which is that they knew what was going on. It says, Bahani ma'atre didans, the second last line in the Tosas on the page, at the way end of the line, is, our presses, ika gimel kochot, there are three, it's three removed, his koach. There's the makel, the galgal, and the korah. It sounds like there's some sort of pulley system in place, and there's a stick or something that allows the pulley system to be released, or he twists the stick around, and that moves it over the pulley. And then there's the korah. Oh, koach rivi'i, v'simit apim al avanim, and there's another koach when we put boards on top of the avanim. So it's not even koach kochol, it's koach kochol, kochol, kochol. Right, so it's like three, four times removed. Which is very interesting, because now it also says something which is important, might have application by Hilchos Shabbos as well, which is, Miu, the manda asar, lo matzir nechiluk ben gimel kochot to bet kochot. Wait, the Gemara only got koach kochot, and when they said asar by koach kochot, it doesn't say then koach kochot, kochot, that would be mutar. It's very similar to what we find by Shabbos, by Kli Rishon, and Kli, right, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and then Kli Shlishi. The Gemara never mentions a concept called Kli Shlishi. Right, later on in the Achronim, they wanted to be matir with a T and certain Kalei Abishol in the Kli Shlishi. Others, I think like Rav Soloveitchik, wanted to be Oser. He said there's no concept of Kli Shlishi. Gemara doesn't acknowledge that there is such a concept. So to over here, see the Rashbam mentioning at the end here that, oh, even though we're three, four steps removed, we don't see that. We don't see any differentiation in the Gemara between Koach Kocho and beyond that. How many steps removed? That koach chochol is representative of, seems to be anything beyond that. I mean, obviously you could differentiate between the cases.
Because it's
in
the opposite.
So, but koach chochol might be representative that everything that's not direct koach, right? That's what I think that Tosfos is suggesting over here. I'm saying, yesh makom lechalek on the Tosfos, you don't have to agree, but it's interesting that he brings in that idea that if the Gemara doesn't mention it, maybe there is no such concept of something beyond koach chochol. Right, how are you chavito? At this barrel, difka, that blew up, exploded, or ka, in that it split. It split up top to bottom. It split and broke in half. It's going to fall apart. Idre, how would chavim, this Ovechim jumped in v'chavka and hugged it to hold it together. So the two sides are falling apart. He hugs it to hold it in place. And there, Sharia Rafram Bar Papa. He was matirid. V'itei maravune breder Yeshua. L'zvune, the ovdei chavim, to sell it. To know the chamim, which means asur b'shtia mutar b'hana'a. V'hani mili the pakal or ka. That's only if it cut lengthwise. Of the futia, if it cut across the width of the barrel, meaning the top and the bottom, there was a slice that went from side to side. Over there, afil b'shtia shari. Over there, it's even mutar b'shtia. My time up. Maser leveina kavid. He's no better than a brick. So what happens? Over here, when you have the barrel that splits along top to bottom, along the length of the barrel, if someone does not hold the barrel, what's the natural course of the two sides? They're just going to fall apart and the wine's going to spill out. So therefore, when the Ovi Chavim hugs it and holds it together, there he's preventing the wine from being released from the barrel. So he is nogeaba yayin in the sense that he's holding the yayin in place by hugging it. When it's top and bottom, when it's split side to side and the top and bottom sit there, there it will not naturally fall apart. The weight of the top on the bottom will keep the wine in place. It will seep out slowly, but it won't just fall apart. So since the barrel will stay together for some duration, and you could have just stuck a brick on top, all you need is weight to keep it in place, then when the Orech Chaim comes again and puts pressure on it, he's no better than a brick in that case. Again, the wine would have not come out without him, and it would have seeped out slowly, and therefore he's not providing a service where he's holding the wine together, and that's why it's mutar in that instance. We don't worry about it in that case. The Tosfos over here talks about, and again, these are all practical issues, about placing in Ne'oret. They're placing in some filling for the cracks, when they had cracks in the barrels, or in the bases of the barrels, they have little holes, and then they stuff them with Ne'oret to protect it. They use these wooden barrels, and they're sealed tight, they have a lot of pressure between them, between the planks that are bent to keep the pressure there, but sometimes, over time, over usage, they start to seep, they start to leak, then they have to stuff sawdust or Ne'oret or other filler material in there. What happens if the goy is the one who puts it in there? If he goes in, he's mahadek, and he places it in there. What is that like? Is that the, like our case over here? Is it like the orka? Or is it like the puchia? So the Balei Tosfos here seem to lean in the favor of saying, because these are cases like the puchia, where the wine won't have come out, it's not pouring out of the barrel, it would seep out of the barrel, there's a small leakage. And when he puts it in, then it fills in or tightens those areas, that's not a problem. Alright, so now the next case in the Gemara. How Ovei Chachamim, Dishtakach, Dehavakai B'Ma'atzarta. Found this guy hanging around the wine press. We don't know what he's doing there. We don't know what he did when he was there. He was there alone without any ashkacha. And Rashi, if there's enough moisture, meaning residual wine in the press, which is moist enough that if you put your finger to it and touched it, it could wet something else. Right, that's tofeach amanat viach, that you have the ability to take the moisture, touch it, and then wet something else. Then baya docha ubaya niguf. The press requires hadocha, which is rinsing out, and nidruv, we'll see in a second what that is. Vilo, if there's not enough moisture, if it's not wet enough, but dacha ba'al masugilei, then it's enough just to rinse out the press and everything is fine. What is nidruv? Rashi says nidruv is efer, v'mayim ve'efer. It's putting in ashes, water, and then ashes. So it seems to me that the ashes were the both abrasive and an absorbent material that soak up the wine that's in the gut or any residual wine that's in the gut, so it would take it out of here. Tosfos points out that obviously if you're doing niguv, you really don't need hadacha. To say that you do hadacha and then niguv is really redundant, because within the process of niguv, you do mayim and you do an hadacha in there anyway. He says he just mentions it as opposed to the other case where all you need to do is hadacha. He also mentions, we don't worry about, and this is the point, when there is not enough of tofeach al-mat nafiach, we don't worry about balua. We don't worry about the wine that is absorbed into the press itself. So that wine is not mitzaref to whatever's on the outside. It's only when there's enough wine there or moisture there that he can touch it and it'll be a problem of nayin nesef that we worry about it. But if there's not enough wine there, even though there's wine balua betoch the wine press, that we don't worry about. And that's why if the moisture isn't there, there's not enough moisture to make it wine or classified as wine, then we don't worry about it. We're only required to do hadocha to wash out whatever the residual is that's there, but we don't make you do the niguf to get rid of it, to dry out the whole area. Right now, the new Mishnah. Ovei Chachamim, shnimtza omeid b'tzad habor. Find the goy standing right next to the bor, the collection pit. Shoyayin, im yesh lo mil alav. If the goy is a creditor, he's the one who lent money to the Jew, asur. Why? Because he's going to feel free to touch the wine here. The Jew owes him money. He's going to touch the wine and say, if the Jew gets upset, he says, look, I'll take it in place of the loan, but I'm going to take this wine. Ein lo milveh alav. On the other hand, if he has no milveh on him, mutar. Because there's no reason that he should be touching the wine here. It's not his wine. It's not any reason to believe he would touch the wine. Nafal lebor. If he falls into the collection get, va'alah. And he comes back out. Madado bikaneh. He measured it with a stick. Or he teased it at tzira bikaneh. He whacked a wasp down with a staff. I guess that got it and then into the wine itself. Osher matfiach al pi chavit merutechet. Or he was pressing down on a bubbling barrel. This is the equivalent today when you pour soda and the foam that comes up on the top. So the foam comes up on the top, starts to come out of the cup. What do? If you put your finger, you put your hand on it, all the foam stops coming up, meaning that it won't go above your hand if you place it there. So same thing here. This is wine that's fermenting. In the fermentation process, the wine starts to bubble up to the top. So in the bubbling up to the top, he presses down on it to stop the bubbling of the foam from going over the top.
But if he touches it,
the foam, not the wine, but the foam. All these cases, v'amru yimacher. Can sell them. Osir b'shti'a, but mutar b'ana. Reb Shimon matir, Reb Shimon says they're all mutar. Natala tachavit, v'zarko b'chamato. He took the zakah. He threw it when he was angry. I mean, he was mad. He threw it into the boar. He threw it into the gut, whatever he did with there. The boar, zeaya masivich shiro. That case, and they were machshir it because of the, we'll see in the Gemara, but the chamato, he's doing it with anger.
The barrel was full or was empty? Which wine is assumed?
We're asking about the wine in the boar.
In the boar, so it doesn't matter if the barrel was empty or not.
Right, the barrel's not so much relevant over here. Just that he threw an object into the boar. Does that mean that he's nogea by boar or not? What do we say about the negia by the boar or not? And we'll see in this, the Gemara will discuss it in his Machlokas Rishonim about this as well. One thing I will point out again is that the Machlokas Rashi in the Rebbeinu Tam comes up over here again, which is Madudo B'Kaneh. Rashi says, by Madudo B'Kaneh, is that he puts it in the Kaneh, he never touches the wine. It's negia ayidei davar acher. And the Rashi reads that negia ayidei davar acher means that there's an external, he's touching it through another item, shelo b'kavana, and that's mutar. But remember, the Rebbeinu Tam says that you only need one of the two. Either it's negia shelo b'kavana, or you need ayidei davar acher b'kavana, either one of those is mutarim. So here the Rebbeinu Tam suggests that even if he's madado b'kaneh, and he touches the wine, that he could have touched the wine when he's madado b'kaneh, but there, since he's a suk with the measuring, so it's negia shelo b'kavana, that we don't worry about.
Or it's ayidei davar acher, but b'kavana, and that's what the Rebbeinu Tam says in other places, that he has kavanat maga, but he's doing ayidei davar acher.
Again, Rashi explains to the shita to, and the Rebbeinu Tam will explain it according to his shita. Amashmo, v'hu sheish lo milve al oto yayin. It's only if the wine was made as directed collateral for the loan. So if it's directed collateral for the loan, then we worry about the goy touching it, because it's basically, it's going to be the vehicle by which he collects. But if he has a general outstanding loan against the individual, we don't say that he's going to go and touch the wine. Rav Ashi, Matnita Nami Deka, we have a Mishnah that proves that. It's actually the Mishnah, tomorrow's Daf. So I'll explain the Mishnah loosely, because Rashi over here explains it one way, and actually has a different explanation, and then there's a large Tosfos that discusses that Rashi and the Madura Kama and the Madura Batra. I'm not going to get, we'll do that tomorrow. That's our, tomorrow's Daf. But today we'll just explain what the Mishnah says. I'm a Taher. You know, Shalovid Chachavim. A person who is pressing on behalf of a Goy to ensure that the wine stays okay and it can be sold to a Jew. So he presses for the Goy. The Jew does all the pressing on his own. But no Bishuto. Then he puts the barrels back in the Goy's possession after he does all the pressing. Balakul Tevlo. And then the Goy writes to him, he kalbalti mimcha ma'ot, that I got from you the money. Mutar. Over there, it's considered mutar. On the other hand, if the Jew wants to come take the barrels out to sell them, he doesn't allow him, until he pays the money, then there was a case like this in Beit Shan, and they made it a sur.
The money, right.
So this is basically a sale on consignment, which is that he gives the wine to the Jew to press on his behalf. The Jew presses it to keep it with Tara, and he's going to sell it to the Israel. Only once he sold it to the Israel does he have to give the money to the Goy. I mean, is he selling on consignment for the Goy? And when he makes the money, he'll pay back the Goy, he'll give him his money. But in the interim, he pressed it, it's in the barrels, he stores it by the Goy's house. Now, if he got, the Goy says to him, look, it's as if I got the money already, you can take it out and sell it, and then you'll give him the money later, that's fine, because then the Israel has free access to the wine, and the Goy is not going to stop him, or not going to intervene, or not get involved, because he knows that the Jew can take it any time, and that would ruin it. It's as if he doesn't really have anything on the Jew. He can't go to the Jew and say, where's my money? What's going on here? On the other hand, if he's unwilling to give him the barrels until he gets the cash, then the Goy is exercising ownership over it, and he's not going to worry so much about touching the wine or doing things, because he thinks it's his wine. He's not willing to let it go until he's given money. So you see the differentiation here between when he has no claim against the Jew, there he's not going to touch it because the Jew can come in and take it any time, he's not going to get involved. On the other hand, where he has a claim against the Jew and he says, you have to give me the money before you can take out the barrels, there we say we worry about it because he thinks he owns it. If he thinks he owns it, he's going to touch it. So exactly that differentiation that Shmuel is laying out here, whether it's directed collateral or it's just general possessions of his where the person has an outstanding loan. Where it's directed collateral, we worry about it. Where it's not directed collateral, we don't worry about it. Taima. Day minicho, right? That's because he doesn't let him go. How many cho? Had he let him go in? Shorit shmamina milvo to yain beinan shmamina. You need a directed collateral. You need to have the loan or the claim be directed against the wine itself. Here, where he's preventing him from getting the wine because that's how he's going to get his money back. That we know. Then it's asur. On the other hand, if he allows him to take it out, it doesn't demand money. Even though the Jew is going to owe him the money when he takes out the wine because he's doing it on consignment. Nevertheless, that's okay, because that's not a directed collateral, because he's not withholding the wine to get his money in that case. So that's the difference between these two. Rashi points out right here, again, which will be different in the Mishnah tomorrow, says it's mutar. This case here is a case where Yesh Maftecho Chutem Biyad Yisrael. The Jew has a key and a chutem on the barrels here. So he has these protections. When he leaves it in the goy's possession, he has those protections. That's what makes him mutar. Again, Rashi tomorrow will say, even without a Maftech and without a chutem. So we'll get to that when we deal with the Mishnah tomorrow. Now, Father Bor Bala, he fell into the collection pit, and then he came out. If he comes out dead, then we don't worry about it. If he comes out alive, we worry about it. My time, what's the worry? It's like a holiday for him. He thinks, why did he get saved? Like, they're Yom Eidam, when we can't transact or trade with them before the Yom Eidam, is because they're going to go be molded to the Avodah Zarah. So too over here. What is he going to do if he comes up on his way up and he realizes he's being saved? He's going to be molded to his Avodah Zarah. He's going to be Mishach Sheikh. He's going to dabble. He's going to do some Nisach with the Yayin. He's going to be all excited. He's going to make it into Yayin Nesach. All right. Mother Dubi Kaneh. You measure with the measuring stick. Kolelu Ayyam Masev. Amru Yimachir Rab Shimon Matir. Amru Avada Bravo. You know Cholo the Rab Shimon Brachot Tal Rosho. Rab Shimon deserves a bracha. Kushu Matir. When he says something is Mutar, Matir Afilu Bishtiya. He says Mutar Legamre. Like our mission over here. Rab Shimon says Matir. He says, forget about just selling it to the guy. You can drink it. If it's Mutar, it's Mutar Legamre. Uksho Ser. On the other hand, when he is Oser, when he makes something Asur, he's Oser Legamre. Afilu Be'ana. He's Oser even with Ana. He says, it's either or. We don't have this business of don't drink it, but you can get Ana from it. Either you can drink it and get Ana, or you can't drink it and you can't get Ana. It's one or the other. I'm Rav Chia Brei De Abba Rav Bar Nachmeni. I'm Rav Chista. I'm Rav. I'm Rilo. I'm Rav Chista. I'm Raziri Alocha K'Rabbi Shimon. Yigad Amri. I'm Rav Chista. I'm Rili Abba Bar Chanan Ochi. I'm Raziri Alocha K'Rabbi Shimon. And then the Gemara concludes, Ain Alocha K'Rabbi Shimon. Even though we have these Amoraim, the Paskin to like K'Rabbi Shimon, nevertheless, the stomach of the Gemara, the conclusion of the Gemara is that the Alocha is not like K'Rabbi Shimon in this case. Inatal Chavit V'Zarka B'Chamoto Lebor. Zeh Yamaseh V'Echshiro. This was a case that we had, and they were machshirit. Amar Vashi, kol she'zav tamei, bobi chachavim osei yayin nesach. Any time where a zav would come into contact with the object would be tamei, so too, by an obi chachavim, it makes yayin nesach. So let's clarify here. Rashi does this, Tosfos does it as well. Look, a zav can be metamei, even behesit. Zav has a very extreme form of tumah, which means that even if he shakes something, or move something, everything becomes tamei, or the item becomes inside of it becomes tamei. He doesn't have to come into direct contact with it. He doesn't have to carry it. Hesed's enough. So that's what the Rashi and the Tosfos point out over here. We're not talking about hesed azav. The principle here is about maga azav, what the zav touches. Whatever the zav touches and becomes tamei, so too, that will be considered yayin nesech for the goy. That's the principle that we are trying to establish over here. And Tosis says that that's the thing that it's coming to be matir over here is zrika, which is the halacha is that if a zav throws something, it wouldn't be problematic, right? It's not tamei, it wouldn't be problematic. So too, when he throws something into the boar, that's also not problematic. And that's what Tosis brings as the halacha. Vein halacha shim zarak even or kol davar liyayin. Person throws anything into the wine. Afilu bikavana, even intentionally, shumutar b'shtia kein hore harav Yosef tov ilayim. Even if he dumps water in there, if he's not intending to dilute it for drinking, so what we learn from this whole halacha over here, is not the halacha about hesed, but the halacha that zrika is different than maga. Maga, whatever the zav would touch would be tamei, so to that be yayin nesach. Since if the zav, if it's something strong by the zav, that doesn't make the object tamei, so too, or the object that it hits is not necessarily tamei, not the one in his hand, obviously, but the thing that he throws it into is not tamei. So to over here, it's not yayin nesach when the object is thrown into the boar. So now the Gemara says, obviously the opposite is true. Kosu b'zav tohor b'vichamir eno se yayin nesach. Eitavei, Ravuna the Ravashi, natal to chavit v'zarka b'chamato. Takes the chavit and throws it in his anger the boar. Zeh masim beit shan v'ichshiro b'chamato in. Shalo b'chamato lo. That means when he wasn't angry, it would be problematic. Wait a minute. By Zav, it doesn't matter if he's angry, he's not angry there, there's no problem of Tuma. Over here, you're differentiating between when it's Mutar and Asur, the cases don't parallel up. It's not, your principle's not standing up to the scrutiny. It says, Hatam kada azal mine umine. The case here, according to Rashi, is that he's holeichu mitgagel hakli kosha. He's rolling the kli towards the boar. He's rolling it, rolling. It's not that he threw it, but he rolls it all the way into the boar. So over there, it depends what, how he's rolling it. If he's rolling it out of anger, then he's just going to roll it fast and whoosh, he's going to roll it right into the boar, not do anything. Then if he's rolling it in a manner that is controlled, and then he expects it, then what we're afraid of is that when he rolls it into the boar, he's also going to touch the yain in the boar. That's a Rashi. Rashi's fear is that we have a fear of chashin and dumu maga, nagaba. We worry about the boar. So if it's bechamato, you have two things. One is that he may not touch the boar itself, because he's so angry, he's going to push it in fast. And number two is even it's not a shalom b'kavana. Because he's also in his anger and trying to express his anger, he's not doing yain yesach in the boar. He's doing it in a controlled fashion, then we worry about him touching the yain in the boar. That's the way Rashi explains it. Conclusion from Rashi is, Tosfos says, if you're mashmei perish Rashi, the maga obichamim shalom b'kavana, yidei davar acher, maga, ayidei the barrel, whatever he throws into the boar, shalom b'kavana, ayidei davar acher is asur b'shtia. So that is Asur B'Shtia Mutarana. This is Rashi L'Shitato. Rashi L'Shitato, that when you have something like Yedei Davar Acher, Maga, Yedei Davar Acher, Shalom B'Kavana, it's Asur B'Shtia Mutarana, like he explains in our Mishnah, like he explained in the previous cases. Reino Tam, again, would say in that case that it's Mutar L'Gamre, but that's not a problem. It's either Shalom B'Kavana, but Maga, direct contact, or it's Dal Yedei Davar Acher, even B'Kavana, is not problematic. Zrika over here, even though the Zrika by Azab is Tahor, here, by the Yayin, we're worried about the fact that he's very close by. And that's what Rashi, over here, Rashi differentiates, and so does the Rashbam differentiates between Zrika from afar and Zrika Kenegdo. If he's throwing from afar, there is no Chashash, and everything is Mutar. If he throws when he's close by, meaning that he's rolling the barrel all the way to the end, and then he drops it in, that's where we worry about Maga. So that's the Rashbam and Rashi differentiate between throwing from afar, which is mutar, and throwing, it's getting something in from it when it's adjacent or close by, that is a sur. Tosfos over here, he says over here, the Prishit Leel, he says, I disagree with this wholeheartedly, and he says that that's on Tosfos further back. Tosfos brought this concept of the Rashbam, of differentiating between Zorek and Nun Terem and Bet. He speaks about this, about the Rashbam making a differentiation. The Rashbam wants to mechalek between Zorek Kenegdol or Zorek Merachok, Techilek Zelo Matzino. He says, we never heard of such a differentiation. It's a Tosfos back on Nun Terem and Bet. And the Tosfos there, he says, we never heard such a differentiation. The Kazumine Mine, the Kaman, that Kazumine, what's the Perush? Shibshasha Chavit no fell a boar, a dainin ugeabo. He's still touching it. But dochafoshim, he pushes it in. Lokumerish akuntris. Dazumine mine ad samuch le boar. That he's rolling it and then he lets it go into the boar. So that goes out. So that's the difference. Tosos, he doesn't explain to you what he says over here, but back on the Tanya Bet, the Tosos who says that I think this Rashbam is wrong, over there he explains what he thinks azil mine mine is. The Rabbeinu Tam says in order to be mutar b'shtia, you need davar acher shalom b'kavana is totally mutar b'shtia. If you have one, then it's also b'shtia mutar b'hana. So that's exactly the case here. It is according to the Rabbeinu Tam that the case here is that he pressed it was dochefet all the way into the boar and pushed it all the way in. So now it's b'kavana ayidei davar acher. So that's asur b'shtia but mutar b'hana. So that's why it would be according to Rabbeinu Tam. So that's the difference. That's shitatam. Again, Rashi is going to suggest over here that you have to release it before it reaches the boar, because Rashi thinks that when it's shalom b'kavana yidei davar acher, it's still asur b'shtia. So that he can't say what the case is. He has to have the case be that he released it early. Whereas the zrika miknegdo, and then differentiate between a close throwing versus a far away throwing, because there we worry about magash, I touched the yayin. Over here, the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, he rolled it and pressed it all the way in, till it was in the boar, and he submerged it into the boar. Over there, you have something, bikavana, yidei davar acher, which according to the Rabbeinu Tam, osur b'shtia, mutar b'ana, because, but he thinks, when you have davar acher, shalom b'kavana, it's totally mutar. So again, this is l'shita tam. All right, we'll stop over here.